Good afternoon, and welcome to We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
This is the second hour of a two-hour show here on August the 11th, 2019, in case we replay it at another time. First hour, we were talking about some of the shootings that we've had of late here in the United States, and there's a lot of discussion by a lot of people who, you know, most of them have stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, you know, like me, and we could all talk about psychiatry, but we're not actually real psychiatrists. So we thought it would be better if we brought in an actual real psychiatrist with like 38 years in practice. It's just fancy. He happens to live right here in Reading, very handy. So Dr. Tom Andrews is with us, and we're picking his brain. Not all of it, though, so in case you're, counting on him Monday, we'll leave some for you. And so we're getting a free couch work in here. Darn it, we're sitting on stools. We should be on couches. I asked you one time if psychiatrists really use couches.
And they do have one.
Yeah. I always thought it was just in the movies. Who knew?
Yeah. Well, we're definitely getting an education on
Because, you know, talk a lot about everybody's mentally ill, and that's why they're all shooting people. So we need to make laws where somehow we have, like, secret agent glasses, and we can tell who's going to go off the rails, but... Just for the folks who maybe are just tuning in, give them that statistic again of how many of these kind of shootings would actually be tied to mental illness.
About 1%.
1%.
So much for that terrific law we need to craft.
Because we have so many shootings on the weekends in the inner cities. We have suicides, some domestic shootings that are not mass shootings. So mass shootings, 1%.
And mass shooting counts as three people or more.
Correct.
And you aptly pointed out at the beginning that it could be your wife or husband and maybe somebody that they're, you know, maybe having some extracurricular sport with and you.
And of the mass.
And the three of you. You never left your house and you had a mass shooting.
Right. And of the three, that's gun violence in general. But of mass shootings, it's 4% that are done by the mentally ill.
People who are classified as mentally ill.
The FBI came up with 25% as a number, but because there's less mentally ill people than not mentally ill, then when you figure it out that way,
the demographics,
then it's only 4%.
Oh. Say that again?
So when you have 25% of the mass shootings that have had mentally ill people, when you mix it with the whole idea of shootings, just shootings in general,
sure,
it drops it down to 4%.
Oh, which is a truer number.
Right.
So the 25% we're looking at is basically a statistical fudge.
Right.
Interesting. That hardly ever happens. We haven't seen that at all lately.
Never. But, you know, and we suggested interventions might help. Policies and laws would focus on those individuals whose behavior is identified as being at risk, you know, so that makes sense, so of committing gun violence. And so two areas, previous history of violence we talked about, and suicide attempts. Those are two high risks that are connected and that should be screened. And people, that should be sort of the red flag. We're talking about the red flag for guns. Suicide attempt with previous histories of violence.
Right. Yeah, I don't think anybody could argue somebody who's suicidal should not have a gun.
Right. Yeah. Right. And then the second thing would be public health educational campaigns should emphasize the need for third-party reporting or concern warnings to law enforcement. So, again, there's some – we talked about that first hour.
Right.
That maybe – that makes you in the role of a police officer, you know,
well,
by doing that. But maybe reporting could be just for the public, not necessarily for the psychiatrist. Because, again, the psychiatrist is only – and I need to correct the statistics. He's only in 40% of the counties. 60% of the counties don't have a psychiatrist in the country.
Right. So when people go, I understand that you're a medical doctor if you're a psychiatrist.
Right.
And you're not if you're a psychologist.
That's correct.
So.
You could go to a psychologist.
Why would you go to one or the other?
Usually a psychiatrist is a referral because of medical concerns.
Okay.
And the need for medication.
Maybe medication. Okay. Right. So when they say you guys are always putting people on medication, that's actually pretty much your job.
Pretty much, they would
go to you for that.
That's right.
Like in Shasta County here, how many psychiatrists do we have?
That's a good question. We have 2, 3, 4.
Oh.
I would say
– more than one.
Well, you have – because you have the VA and you have county mental health.
Oh.
And you have Shasta Community Health.
Okay.
And so with that, you're probably maybe 6 or 7 or 8 psychiatrists counting that. But then ones in the VA setting, there's several there. There's several in the county mental health.
And you were saying there's a lot of telehealth.
And there's telehealth.
That's and available. That actually has, I thought right. It kind of sounded crazy that yeah. You would talk to your doctor over the, like well, literally a computer right. Screen or a TV screen, right. But
well, and
you
we,
think it's pretty.
Yeah, we're doing it. I have two businesses. One's my private practice and one is, I have a practice called North American Mental Health Services, and it's with Bent Kenny, my partner. And he was my PA that used to work with me in my prior practice. But we service telehealth, and we also do county mental health via telehealth. And we do Native American clinics, and we also do walk-in Medi-Cal population. So we work with the poor population or the people who have had difficulties with their finances. We work with them, and we have both therapy and we have medication management. Providers that are nurse practitioners trained in psych and PAs trained in psych that are physician extenders. Plus, we have psychiatrists kind of associated with us. And our clinics are over the North State. So we're opening up a clinic for telehealth in Eureka this month. And then we have one in Woodlands. And we're hoping to open one in Fairfield.
So bottom line is if you're having issues
right.
And you don't live near a large city, perhaps mm-hmm. –
Yeah,
there are a lot of options.
Open. Right. You could call into North American Mental Health Services and talk to Hillary there, and she could set you up with a telepsych.
So what happens when somebody, because I'm thinking some of these people have said, you know, I knew my son or my daughter or right. Whatever was, you know, scary or, you know, whatever was going on or they were kind of in trouble. You can't make somebody go to the doctor, whether it's for a cold or a psychiatrist.
You could.
Let's say it's an adult child, because I mean, if it's a little kid, obviously you can put him in the car. Right. But let's say it's your 20-something-year-old son, and you're thinking.
Well, sometimes it does work to say, here's someone who can help you. Here's someone who's going to, you know, care about what you're saying and want to listen to the problem and try and come up with a solution for you. So,
do they know they have a problem?
Some
I mean,
do.
It's not
some do. Some
no
do.
All and no never, but
they and if they're exceedingly paranoid, they may be know they have a problem, but they're afraid because they're afraid of what could
paranoid.
Be done to them. Yes, they're yeah. Paranoid. Something can happen to them. But if they are open to coming for help, if the family could do it in a kind, interventional way, saying, "Look, you haven't solved the problems. You need some help with this.
Sure.
This we're not committing you. We're just bringing you there to get
Should
some help.
Should they call you? I mean. Because, I mean, we have people who listen all over the country, right? They're not just here in town.
How does
right.
the person, where do they go? I mean, I got somebody with a problem. Who do I call?
Do they call you and then are you allowed to call someone and say, hey, I hear you need an appointment?
Well, usually we have, you know, people who answer the phones and are able to do that and set up an appointment. That's mm-hmm. how we do it because I've got to take care of the people who are
right
people I see regularly. But people who have a problem want to come in. Like I said, North American Mental Health Services on Oregon Street here is good for people who, you know, have Medi-Cal and who need some help right away. We can get them in pretty quick. The program in my office has a little bit of a wait list, but you can call Thomas J. Andrews, MD, Inc. It's called, you know, Psychiatric Care Centers. But
sure.
So do you get referrals from, like, DPs? Say,
yes.
Hey, you know what? This isn't something I can do.
Exactly.
This guy can help.
They've had two rounds of antidepressants, or they tried to give right. them a little something to help, and it's not working, so they usually refer to us at that point. And we get referrals, like I said, from therapists, too, because the therapist has been working with a client for a while. They say, look, we can only go so far with this case. We need some medication help.
Right.
So we do that, too. Hmm. But like I said, institutions, you know, we could have a forensic threat assessment team, maybe, to evaluate dangerousness, third party. That could be something we could do. Congress could enforce kind of the idea of having teams, action teams, which mm-hmm. would be good, versus a law that says we're going to check your guns,
right.
all that. Well, okay, that's fine, but...
How helpful. I mean,
it would be much better to have a team of trained people
sure.
to be available to someone who's having a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be better. And also to provide education in elementary school, starting in elementary school, how to focus on problem solving, how to deal with skills of dealing with your anger and conflict resolution. They should have a class.
See, that's a great
they
idea.
Should have a class. Every school should have
yes.
that. And then parents can even attend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we solve this? Because, you know, let's stop this unnecessary violence in our community.
Well, and the kid at that point would have somebody they could go to. Say,
right.
Hey, you know, I'm in the class and this is happening. And
right.
What do I do?
So what happens when, because, you know, whenever you watch, maybe everyone else isn't watching true crime, but, you know, I watch a lot of true crime. And so you see sometimes where one of the kids gets, you know, they've got a mom who's a nun, mm-hmm. really. Mm-hmm. And so the kid gets out, the oldest kid gets out and tries to go get help, calls CPS. CPS comes to the house and talks to him in front of the mom.
Very helpful, yeah.
Yeah, so they think, okay, the system isn't going to help. So what happens when you have a parent who is the problem? You guys, I'm sure, are mandated reporters.
Yes, we would be mandated
reporters. So if you feel like it's a child abuse situation, but what if it's just, what if it's the narcissistic parent
who,
that's kind of causing
right.
the thing?
Yeah.
Then, do you suggest maybe, hey, the parents ought to come in at a different time. We should chat.
It'd be nice, but if they're a narcissistic parent, they're not going to come in.
Right.
So you have to help the kid. And so that's where school counseling can help. Because mm-hmm. if the kid can't get to the session outside of
yeah, if home, they don't drive, if they're a little kid.
But if they go to school, then the counselor can help there and identify the
yeah,
problem.
And I think if you identify that at that early age, it's not such a huge problem
right.
at that point where it can't be resolved fairly quickly, as opposed to wait until they're an adult when they have all this baggage they have to deal
and
with.
And heavy baggage. And now, it's, yeah. On top of that, now they're smoking marijuana to cope.
Yeah,
which maybe we should talk about.
All right, we'll talk about that on the backside of our celebration of capitalism.
Okay.
And this song going out, you should introduce it. This is
Girl. This is James Bond Woman. My son and his band Lumbercat wrote it, and they hope someday to get it out there to the people making the Bond movie. Maybe the next Bond movie is supposed to have a woman.
Yes, that's what.
So maybe they can get that to have this. So it's been
nice.
It's a cool song.
All right. So here's a little
snippet
of it. I think it's like 45 seconds or so. We'll be right back.
Girl, so smooth. She plans each move and parts her lips and touch this last of his. She's the danger. Fine-tuned figure, she sets her sights. Trained with the deadly surveying. The boy is shaking, the girl's not stirred. She's the one who has the most fun. He can't hide from the gun in her finger. He better run from this James Bond woman. She shoots and kills.
There we go, and we're back. We had a little free sound in the background. It was Bill's tablet. I was like, where is that sound coming from? We put on our headphones, and then we just play our computers while we're sitting here so you can listen to the annoying sound in the background. It's just another service we provide.
That's right.
Yep.
Free
so
charge.
We've been doing this for almost 10 years, and we still do stuff like that. That's just what makes it fun.
It does.
Okay, so what else are we missing?
Well, I really think we need to look at something. Okay? We talk about gun violence. We talk of economy, this and that, and this and that. But really, America's gone to pot, hasn't it?
You know, it's a topic that we've actually devoted an entire tab at the top of our thing because it's people are really super uninformed about how bad it is.
Yeah, they don't know.
It's all about that it's going to be magical and that it's going to solve all your pain problems and it's going to calm you down. It's great for PTSD, blah, blah, blah.
But
But when in actuality, it's not.
Yeah, let's give you some stats on that.
Yes, please do.
Well, first,
yet another voice in the chorus of
yes.
truth.
I mean, they did studies. Like, of course, we could blame the Swedes, but the Swedish Army did a study.
Darn Swedes.
And but if you had used marijuana by age 18, you were 2.4 times at risk of schizophrenia in the next 15 years. Okay.
Oh.
If you were a heavy user, you were 6.7 times as likely to develop schizophrenia in 15 years.
Comes with free schizophrenia.
Yes, it does.
Shoot. Well, what could be wrong with that?
A New Zealand study out of 1,000 cannabis abusers between 15 and 18, they had increased rates of psychosis by age 26 in that group. The British Medical Journal, 2,000 teens were studied, and they were two times as likely if they were marijuana users to develop psychosis.
Wow.
And the other reverse, 13% of all cases of schizophrenia could be prevented if they wouldn't use marijuana.
So when we talk about psychosis, it's a word we throw around, but what does it really mean?
Well, it's just like this shooter, Betts, that was in Ohio.
Okay.
He was hearing dark voices. He told his girlfriend, dark voices, troubling voices. And
you write in the chart, psychosis.
Psychosis. You'll probably ask what he's hearing, and then because he said they were dark.
So it's not a small thing.
No, it's not a small thing.
It's not going to just.
When it gets to that point, you definitely got to.
So let's.
It's not going to make you not finish your tasks on time.
That's
right. This is like you're hearing voices stuff.
Yeah. So let's look at pot. Pot has the THC and the CBD cannabinoids. Let's look at their levels from 1960 to 2011. It was, let's say, for THC, it was 1. You know, let's say 1 is a starting point in the 60s. It's 11 times as powerful as it was in the 1960s. Some people say even higher. But
the bad part is the people making decisions about the fact that these things should be legal
right.
may have used pot
in the
60s.
In the 60s.
Right.
So
exactly.
They haven't got a clue.
They don't have a clue how much more powerful it is. And CBD has been steady, so that part has not changed much. But we're looking at it is 10 times more potent than it was mm-hmm. in the 70s, 80s, 60s, you know, in that time. So what has that happened? We've had 4 states recently that have been studied since 2014 that legalized marijuana. Alaska, Colorado, Oregon, and Washington. Violent crime rates have gone up in each of those states.
Hmm.
Each of those states.
Commensurate with the marijuana.
Marijuana law. 30% in teens in one African village are... We've been in contact with a native tribe. 30% of those teens are committing suicide, and they're on drugs, marijuana, alcohol.
Wow. So when you add alcohol to the mix, obviously it doesn't help.
Right.
But how big of a force multiplier is it?
It's definitely, oh, goodness, 50%.
Lower the inhibition and dial up the psychosis.
And suicide.
Bingo.
So now here's the other part. I had a patient come in, one of the students, and he came in, and he had been hospitalized at a hospital. And he acutely was psychotic and hearing voices, and he was suicidal. He came back to tell me he was, you know, they were on the pipe with marijuana at one of the local high schools. And the concentrated THC.
Now, oh, in the,
in the pipe,
what do you call it, the
oils,
vaping type stuff?
Yes, yeah, vaping. Yeah. 95%. And the statistics show nationally it's 56%. So
but that's a lot.
So that's going from smoking marijuana, which is 11 times what it was, you know,
right.
Maybe somewhere between the teens percentage-wise, all the way up to 95%. I even called the company. Because he told me the name of the place down in Sacramento. I called him, and I sounded like an adult, you know, sophisticated kind of style with him at first. And then I just thought, hey, why don't you switch into, hey, man, you know. Kind of like, so I did that. I kind of switched into that. And he just, without a pause, he switched into that lingo himself.
Wow.
They're just there to sell the stuff to these kids.
Well, and it gets back to when you go to the local.
And he confirmed the percentage of how much.
That it was like 95%?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And these are the
THC?
Folks that are going to diagnose your problem at the pot shop. You know, you're going to go in, I can't sleep, or, hey, I got a headache. And they're going to recommend the type of marijuana and probably the potency of marijuana that you need because they're trained. You know, they're like just like doctors in Mexico. But yeah, they're going to tell you.
They're going to tell you,
and you're going to take that advice.
Take that advice, exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is. It's what do they call it? Reefer Madness.
Yeah.
That old movie.
But and, see, and, all those old movies, you know, basically talked about how everybody smoked pot, ate a lot of, you know, Doritos, and then took a nap.
Right.
But that's not what's happening now.
Well, it was then, you know, at 11%. Yeah, right. it was not a big deal.
But they made it
a big deal, but it nothing like it is today.
You're taking 95% THC and you want to throw yourself off a building or somebody else or go as a group?
Wow. This is interesting statistics. I also said marijuana sold at legal dispensaries is 5 times more potent than the pot in the 70s and 80s, as I mentioned earlier. And that young people born in 1999, which is the year the shooter was born.
This is younger people than you, Ashley.
That's right. By the way. 1999. So the El Paso shooter, his birth date, were 50% more likely than those born in 1984 to report feeling serious psychological distress in the previous month. So not only are we dealing with more stress, now we're dealing with sharp increases of violent crime since passing marijuana. And these people have been using drugs. I'm sure that we'll find out from their history there must have been some usage in some of these shooters.
One of the talking points is marijuana calms you down. You know,
right.
It makes you non-violent.
It depends what you have. You know,
let's
say if you have ADD, some people with ADD have opposite reactions mm-hmm. to medications. You give them a Benadryl and it hypes them up.
Right.
And you give them a stimulant, it calms them down.
Uh-oh, right.
That's me too.
And then if you give them marijuana, it's going to jack them up, give them anxiety instead of calm them down. Mm-hmm. So it depends what their genetics are. You can't assume it for everyone.
That's true with any drug. I mean,
yeah.
So you're not recommending people use marijuana to
I am not.
Help themselves out there?
No, I am not recommending that at all. CBD yeah. oil for pain, maybe, as long as THC is less than 0.3% or whatever, you know.
Probably not going to make them freak out.
That's right.
So if you had a kid who came mm-hmm. in, high school age kid, say, or even younger, I guess now, and you find out they're basically a marijuana user on a regular basis, are you talking to their parents? How does that work in your world? Are you allowed to?
If they're 16 and older, there's certain rights they have that you would probably not be able to divulge certain things if they haven't given you release of information.
If they continue, you can't really treat them.
Right. Then you would just say to them, look, I need you to be honest with everyone involved, that you need to be sharing this with your family. And we're going to test you and your urine because we do test urines. And we'll see how it's looking and see if you're not using or you are using.
Do you wind up having to explain to parents the danger and they just don't know?
Because
a lot of people think it's not that big a deal.
Right.
It's natural, right?
It's natural. And they come from the idea it's an herb, right? It's mm-hmm. natural. But the reality is it can change a person's life devastating. You know,
And does it stay that way?
It can change. Okay, so there has been some recent studies done at Harvard and some of the other schools that early teens using marijuana can change the neurocircuitry of the brain.
And we did a show with Dr. Libby Stout. That's on the tab of our webpage, actually. That'd be a show if somebody's interested in the brain mm-hmm. Development and the brain chemistry changes. Mm-hmm. That show we did probably 6 months ago and super interesting. She's in Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
And,
so are you a believer that it is addictive?
That marijuana is addictive? I believe, yes, it certainly can be addictive.
Because that's another one they say, you don't get addicted to it.
Well, if you have withdrawals, it's addictive, and they have withdrawals these days. We have to take a really quick break.
That's because of the potency.
And lighten it up.
Yeah, it's a potency issue.
So we have a special song. I don't know why I put it in the playlist, but it turns out it was going to be something we'd use. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Tom Andrews. You're listening to We the People Radio.
Go to the next. I was gonna go to work, but then I got high. Ooh, I just got a new promotion, but I got high. Now I'm selling dope, and I know why. Because I got high, because I got high, because I got high. La da 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 da. I was gonna go to court before I got high. I was gonna pay my child support, but then I got high.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. The way he described it, He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along that he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not, oh no. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. He said I'd need treatment, but I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined when out of his sight to be out of my mind. And he thought I was nuts, no more ifs, or ands, or buts. They say as a child I appeared a little bit wild with all my crazy. Then they go.
Wow.
Oops.
So that,
yeah, we're done
that
with
was
that
the
song.
File. All right, we had a little sound mashup there.
There we go.
And, okay, so the book you're referencing, tell us again.
Oh, it's interesting. You know, I know there's another issue about many times the conspiracy theorists talk about, oh, my goodness, these shootings might be connected. Maybe there's a shooting that is connected to, what do they call them, false flag shootings?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Something like that. Well, I have a book that I've read two books by this author. He's an incredible author. You want to get his books. His name is Gordon Thomas. He's written 7 books for movies, and he's won an Emmy Award for his writings. And he's got two books, Gideon's Spies, which is The Secret History of the Mossad, which is really
– okay.
So you know what's really interesting about that is Maxwell. You know, you've heard of Maxwell, right, in the news recently?
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Epstein's Ghislaine
right.
Maxwell. Okay. Her father was the famous billionaire Maxwell, who was a newspaper in England. And he was against the Israelis getting atomic weaponry, and somehow he disappeared on his yacht in 1992, in the middle of the ocean. And Ghislaine was on the boat when he disappeared.
Probably just fell off.
Just fell off. Yeah. Just
like. Sure.
So anyway, so he mentions that story, and he mentions many other stories in there, how the Mossad even talks about an interesting side story about the Iran-Contra. So you might be interested in that if you read it. But this one is on The Secrets and Lies, A History of CIA Mind Control and Germ Warfare. And what amazed me about the story is I got about halfway through it, and then all of a sudden they started talking about Sidney Gottlieb. Now, who is Sidney Gottlieb?
Yeah, why do I know that name?
He was the former president of the American Psychiatric Association. That's the highest you can get with psychiatry.
Right.
So he was involved up to his eyeballs.
Oh, boy.
In all this stuff, in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. So after 20 years of working with CIA, they finally ended his program in 73. But I don't remember the title of the movie. Remember that Mel Gibson movie with the psychiatrist? And he was back in 1995, and he was controlled, and he had been secretly programmed.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful Mind?
It was No, it wasn't that one.
That was the other guy.
Yeah.
The super smart guy.
That was about the mathematician.
The movie was probably super smart, just not that.
But the Mel Gibson movie was kind of a comedy. It was funny.
Pelican Brief?
Maybe it was that.
Pelican Brief?
It was, but the key is he had a psychiatrist who was like his shaper, and he was in the movie. And I think they must have based it on this character, Sidney Gottlieb. Because anyway, but there was another psychiatrist in Montreal, Canada, at McGill University, and his name was Cameron, Hugh Cameron. And what they were doing was doing these taped loops and getting them to believe and be controlled to do what they asked them to do. You remember there was a researcher called DeSantos. You've probably seen it in your school videos or where he took a bull and put electrodes in a bull. And the bull starts to charge and then stops. You can see this. And so they had implanted electrodes. And by a wire box, he was able to stop a bull from charging.
Oh.
And so.
Oh, I've seen that on Cops.
Exactly.
It's different then.
That's Taser, bro.
Does the bull yell out, "Don't tase me, bro"? That's what happens on the police show.
The scientist was Delgado. He was a psychologist that worked. And then a neurosurgeon in Tulane University named Robert Heath, he implanted. Let's see. It looks like 125 electrodes in the brain and a body of a patient. Human being.
Wow.
And he would constantly stimulate his pleasure centers. And to the point where the memory, impulses, and feelings were so disoriented, he was evoking hallucinations in the guy. Manipulating the human will at will.
Yeah.
Was what they were doing. And many of you have heard this organization called at the time, MK Ultra.
Yeah, MK Ultra,
yeah.
And
yeah.
So the MK Ultra Project 68 was Gottlieb's project.
That was remote viewing and yes, that sort of thing.
And they would use mediums and psychics and stuff like that. In fact, Gottlieb put it in one of the universities, a course on Satan is not only alive and well, but thriving in the country. And Gottlieb, the devil must be respected, and he put a course in University of South Carolina on sorcery. So this psychiatrist did this kind of stuff. And he would call it chaos magic. And he had
chaos magic.
He would call
two words that shouldn't go together.
He would put he would call them psychonauts. And the CIA was trying to develop a group of psychonauts.
That's
what
scary.
Could go wrong?
Yeah. I mean, it's scary.
Yeah. And then you know what? Then they're going to say, you know what? You're not a good candidate. Let's just cut you loose on the public.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah.
So here's the president of the American Psychiatric Association doing these kind of experiments. And Cameron was being sued by someone in the hospital because he put her in this area and just rolled these tapes over and over again. So the question is, are these shooters possibly connected in some cases to some sort of MK Search, MK Ultra, which is no longer MK Ultra now. It's some other probably program. But is there something else that's going on, which we don't know? It could be a false flag thing.
Sure.
The guy in New Zealand is very suspicious to me because of his wandering the globe for 7 years, and then all of a sudden he shows up to shoot people.
Yeah.
Very unusual.
Who could afford to wander the globe for 7 years for starters?
Exactly. How could you wander for 7 years financially?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Red flags should go off to everyone when you hear stuff like that. Now, these young students, I'm not saying these guys that we just saw, but some of these other older adults, who knows, Saran, you remember when he
was? Yeah.
And those kind of people. Yeah, so some of the shooting may have direct ties to drug usage, poor family homes, abuse, tendency towards violence, certainly. But then there might be a narrower, more select, and more controlled type of mass shooting type situation that might be different. Or a select shooting situation.
Yeah, that's pretty scary when our government is involved in programs that.
Or scary here, 38 years in psychiatry. I'm Distinguished Life Fellow in American and APA, and the president, my president, back in the 70s,
was involved
in this nonsense.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And it started innocently with the idea that the North Koreans had brainwashed our troops in Korean War, and so
we were going to unscramble them.
We were going to unscramble them and figure out how to best control people. Mm-hmm. But then it got way off. And then it got into some very dark things.
Like all things where we try to, renegotiate nature.
Right.
And we're going to be smarter.
Right.
You know, we're going to fix it.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a movie. I can't remember the name of it. It's like Talking with Goats or something.
Yes.
Men Who Stare at Goats. Ashley just sent me that little blip there.
And they claimed that they had somebody who could stare at a goat.
And make it fall.
And make it fall over with just their mind.
They should have started with sheep. They're easier to scare.
some sheeples.
Just a side note. And the other one might have been What Women Want.
Yes.
Is that the one?
It's something like that, but it's not that one.
Not the one where Mel Gibson tried to get him put on pantyhose? It's
that was in the 2000s. This was in 1995.
Okay.
It's very
back to the drawing board, Ashley. Sorry. I tried. Let's take a really quick break. Let's go early, huh? And then we'll roll to the top of the hour with our guest, Dr. Tom Andrews. We're talking about, mental health and crazy stuff and, playing some silly music for you and you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Everything I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I want to turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I'll find with everyone.
This old man and me were at the bar and we were having us some beers and swapping night on cares, talking politics, blonde and redhead chicks, old dogs and new tricks and habits we ain't kicked. We talked about God's grace and all the hell we raised. And then I heard the old man say, God is great, and beer is good, and people are crazy.
There you go. Boil it down. Make it simple. Hey, so the music that we were grappling with, just in fact, in case you were screaming at your computer or radio or whatever you're listening on, trying to give us the answer, it was called Conspiracy Theory. Like, it was right in front of our faces the whole time. We just couldn't see it. Okay. So, in the final throws here, what do we want to leave people with? What should people know that they're actually... There's so much stuff people are being misinformed with, and we don't always have, well, we don't have time to go research everything. Nobody's an expert in everything.
Right.
And so when it comes to this, there's so much talk about mental health now because of the shootings. What else should people know or be thinking about, I guess?
I think the key is if the rhetoric is heated up and we're not listening to people's ideas – I'll never forget, I was just recently in a health food store, and I just happened to use the term because the person was talking about global warming. I said, well, there could be some, you know, there's being somewhat of a scientist, I like to look at two things. I mean, three, maybe. The idea that you should have an inquiring mind.
Right.
You should be open to things.
There's never settled science because it's science.
Exactly. I mean, you've got the skeptic and you've got the believer, but I'd like to be the inquirer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and not the magazine.
Yeah, but that's true. That's bad.
That's a
nothing
bad
good
one.
Happens there.
It's with the I, not the E. Yeah. And so, but I would like to be one that says, okay, let's answer questions. So I just happen to say, well, are we in a sunspot cycle? They call it the sunspot minimum. Is actually what it's called, SM.
Yes.
And so, are we in a sunspot minimum? And are we really heating up, or are we going to see a cooling off like the cycles we've seen in the Middle Ages and? And around the time of Rome and other things like that. And then we, or are we going to be heating up because it's a cycle? But we're seeing that the sunspots are actually, the number of them are decreasing in an 11-year cycle. Plus each 11-year cycle, they're getting smaller. So therefore, there's less electromagnetic field, less heat being produced, you know, in those situations. So are we starting to cool off since 2014? But when I just hinted about the sunspot cycle, I think
you used the word sun and the guy freaked out and his head exploded?
Yes, this person just kind of wheeled around on their foot and basically, nice talking to you. And there was even not a chance for a discussion. So I hope that we can have a discussion about psychiatry and not just tell people, oh, it's my idea and your idea is meaningless. No,
and that's really where we've
gone. Oh, wait. Your idea makes you a racist.
Yeah, but that's where we are today. Like it. I mean, there's two camps.
Right.
And there's no dialogue between them. You're either on this side or you're on this side.
Exactly.
Pick a team.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to get off of that.
Right. We have to solve problems. Maybe there's another way of looking at the problem. And you could say, you know, you have an interesting idea about that. Maybe we could look at this problem. We could resolve this problem. We could look at it together. And that's the way I'd like to look at it, with this aggression, violence, being able to work through this and not just be indiscriminate about it. Obviously, you have a person who might be psychotic, hearing voices. You're not going to be able to reason with that. You're going to have to get them some help in a more safe setting for them and for others. But if they're not having where they're hearing voices and they're not completely out of control, then you can have a dialogue.
And I would like to believe that most people are that way. I mean, the percentage of people that are hearing voices, I think, is pretty slim.
Gotta be pretty small, right?
Right. Yeah. It's generally very
although it does explain
small.
A lot of the driving out there, so I'm wondering.
But
I would make such a good psychiatrist.
You would certainly make a fun psychiatrist.
That's such a nice answer. That was such a Dr. Tom answer there. Make hate fun psychiatrists.
And, you know, there's healing in laughter. There is healing in joy. And
I think so.
And you got to do that. And I think that's important. But if we can just let people have ideas and be able to share them and not treat them as if those ideas are anathema, mm-hmm. then I think we can go a long way to help.
Right.
Them. But the rhetoric's going up. And the reason the rhetoric is so high is because they're constantly trying to one-up the other person. And then the followers of either group
right.
are taking the same approach.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can just say, hey, you know, I know this person said this and this person said that, but I may not see it to that extreme. I see it this way. And that would be a good way to approach it.
And that's okay. You can have your own opinion anymore.
Right.
If your opinion's not their opinion, then we have a fight.
Right. It's almost like... you know, the Crips and the Bloods.
Yeah,
if you're wearing blue or you're wearing – so right. now we're into colors. So if you wear a red hat or you're wearing a blue, you know, yeah. it gets to that point.
You walk
point.
Into the wrong neighborhood, you're a goner.
You're a goner.
And wow. How do you peel people off the ceiling that have gotten to that point where they just – you know what I mean? Can't have a dialogue because they're not happy.
No.
At the end of the day, they're really not happy people.
Right.
So they've got to have a huge amount of stress in their life.
Exactly.
It's got to, like, just spill over
onto
everything.
And I think I can appreciate that person who couldn't hear what I was saying because they had suffered some, you know, pretty monumental stress. And so I was able to just
the stupidity fairy came.
I was able just to say, have a nice day, walk away, and just mm-hmm. be polite.
You find that people are too absorbed in a topic to where they've kind of pushed their life to the side and now they're taking on this cause and everything is about that now.
There are people like that for sure. There are people like that for sure. And I think with someone like that, they believe in it so strongly because they must identify with it. Mm-hmm. And so then you have to find out, well, what about that person that you believe in so strongly? What do you identify in that person, what they're saying?
Right.
And then get them to talk about that. And I'm sure when you get calls in, Aaron,
at the
office, you get people who say, oh, you have these strong feelings about such and such.
Yeah.
You know, there must be something that made you feel so strongly about that.
But a lot of times it just degenerates into, you know, screaming and yelling. I was curious how much, because we'll never know as a society, obviously we can all guess, but how much do you think that having 900 channels focused on news that run 24 hours a day is just causing people to go around the bend?
Yes, there's no doubt that, especially when they repeat these kind of events, that's not healthy.
And that's a relatively new phenomenon in our society where this constant barrage of information is available to you with the internet, with the 24-hour news cycle. I mean, you're everywhere you look, it's on you.
Yeah.
It didn't used to be that way. And I think people were more...
Right. They were more family-oriented, work-oriented, school-oriented, goal-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And the spiritual orientation was much higher in our society. And that's also been depleted, I think.
Not to skip that part. Because without God, you fill in that gap with something.
Exactly.
So it becomes global warming or it becomes something else. And that's what you, quote, believe in. When you start talking about scientific ideas as a belief system,
an interesting thing called the Privileged Planet. It's a four-part series.
Privileged what?
Planet.
Okay.
And there were some, in that series, there are some former agnostics who now are believing scientists from the University of California, Berkeley, and Livermore Labs. And it's pretty impressive to see what they have to say about their belief. And there's a book called Darwin's Black Box. And that author, I think it's David Beebe, he has just an amazing way. He was an agnostic until he started studying the sciences and realizing there has to be a creative force.
Okay, wait a second.
Bigger than me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, how can we have 24 steps to seeing dark and light or color in the eye? And it's 24 chemical reactions that have to happen in a certain, otherwise it won't happen.
Right. Yeah, where was that engineered?
Yeah, exactly.
It was also the Big Bang. Everything was Big Bang.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. And so what about the one thing we didn't talk about was video games and that kind of thing, especially with sending
Well, majority of American people,
children, but
87% of American people feel that video games are need to be protected from children, violent video games.
Is that real?
It's a survey based.
But I mean,
is it a real thing?
Yeah.
I personally feel that video games, the military is now encouraging video games for training, for specific situations with drones and how to communicate. And so, with this MK Ultra background, couldn't videos be used in a way that's destructive too? It's possible. Very, very possible. So can video games be done to train a person to be a better soldier? I'm sure. But could they also be used in a nefarious way? I say yes to that.
Well, I think they desensitize
exactly
people when you constantly, I mean, some of these kids get on these video games and they're on them all day, every day. And so you become numb.
Shooting and all that.
And it prevents the communication, too, with
right.
You've come from a, let's say you have a dysfunctional family, you're always in video games. How can you ever learn to be functional
right
in society? So it's a distraction at the very least. And at the most, it can be possibly causing violence, you know, in certain individuals.
Because right. we've talked about that as a society for a long time, that we should be, monitoring that a little more closely and being.
Well, they used to say the same thing about rock and roll. And
I know that's what that I want. That's why I wondered. I mean, does it really?
Right.
If you're okay, no one's life is perfect, but let's pretend.
Your home
life is totally normal. Your school life is totally normal. Your normal IQ. You just don't have any risk factors of whatever's going on. And you play a bunch of video games. What are the odds that you're?
And I'm sure it's much less than someone who comes from a dysfunctional home who's been abused.
Could it be a tipping point then?
And it's a way of isolating them and preventing them from getting close to someone and alienating them further.
Sure.
So anything that leads to more alienation and more isolation, then I would move away from that.
Because that's a big thing. I mean, there is no more
good advice.
Talk around the dinner table with families
right.
and that whole interaction with people.
That's right.
With the internet, everything is animated now. And
right.
You don't have to have a relationship.
Yeah, we used to be the ones who were animated. All of those crazy people. What are we doing?
I don't know.
So, our guest today has been Dr. Tom Andrews. He is North American Medical Health Services. You can find him if you live in Reading. You can find him at namhs.com. There you have it. Thanks, Dr. Andrews. Right. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. That was a very interesting discussion.
Signing off for very another timely. Week. We very great. Rarely have people in the studio, so that makes it kind of fun, too. We goof around more. I don't know.
It was fun.
Oh, we never goof around.
You can find everything about the show, and you can hear the replay at wethepeopleradio.us.